Hello, and welcome to episode 62 of Potteroony. I had a wonderful reaction to last week's The Ralph Roll one, and that was great. I'm standing here with my dog, and she's looking out across at some cattle who are staring back. It was kind of a standoff. I probably think they're wondering, is that a tiny cow? And I have to say, cows... No, it's not. It's a dog. You bloody idiots. In the last week, I've discovered a really, really good podcast called Song Exploder. And I would highly recommend it. And I've discovered some great music. So once you've listened to this one first, then listen to the other one. This podcast, of course, is better than Song Exploder. And it's sponsored by Jack Cody's Beer. Jack Cody's makes some wonderful beer brewed in the lovely town of Drogheda. Or Drogheda, D-R-A-W-D-A, as I like to pronounce it. But it's pronounced Drogheda if you're a posh person. That's Drogheda. And you can go online and find Jack Cody's beer. There's a wonderful range. Smiggy is my favourite, or Doxy. There's also Hibernicus and Lazy Eye if you actually want to have a Lazy Eye. Because it's very strong. Oh, look, there's a swan just going by here. And my silly dog is... Well, I say, just kind of foolishly looking like he wants to take on the swan. She wants to take on the swan. No, don't do it. Don't do it. Stay away from the swan. A swan can break your arm, can't it? Well, in this episode of Potteroony, I am interviewing Kevin McGarren from the Republic of Telly. And Carl Spain, who's also working on the Republic of Telly at the moment. And we did this recording in Galway in front of a live audience in the King's Head on the Saturday afternoon during the Vodafone Comedy Carnival. And it was a paid-in gig, and all the money, thank you to the people who paid in, because all your money is going to the My Lovely Horse Rescue charity, which is a charity that rescues horses and dogs and donkeys who are abandoned in from urban, particularly urban areas, inner city areas where sometimes dogs and horses. I've just stood in the fucking cow shit. Fucking fuck you, cows! Who have been. I love you, really, cows. Yeah. Horses and obviously. Horses who've been rescued from urban areas where they've been kept in cramped or and conditions are neglected. They keep them in a sanctuary, a couple of places. And I've been to visit one of them. And Kathy Davey is involved heavily in the charity. I think she may have started the charity. They're lovely to see all the donkeys nice and happy. Sitting around in the fields and hee-hawing as a donkey will. So thanks again to Carl and Kevin for doing the podcast and taking the time out to do it. And thanks to the audience for paying in, and I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you enjoy listening back to it. Yeah. Well, in the last week, I've been down in Sligo doing a gig, a lovely gig in the Model Theatre. And I would love to see maybe a monthly gig down there. And I've talked to them about perhaps doing that comedy gig, because they're starved of comedy in Sligo. There used to be a regular gig in the Model on a monthly basis, and that... hasn't been happening for a long time. Then I was up in Dungannon at a crazy gig out in a place called Lulu's Bar in Dungannon, up in Northern Ireland, or outside Europe, if you want to put it that way. Came back down, and on Sunday afternoon I went to the Fash Vintage Clothes fashion show. It was part of the Burlesque Festival, which was on in house on Leeson Street and the Sugar Club, and that was brilliant. Really good, lovely clothes. Had some afternoon tea with a little bit, a hint of bourbon. I got slightly drunk on Sunday. Well, Sunday afternoon. That was after I'd checked into a hotel. And while I was checking into a hotel room, I parked my car outside, which you one would do, and there wasn't a parking bay. I left it on WL line, I will say that. But I was just checking in. And you know what happened. Yes, I was clamped on a Sunday afternoon. No traffic on the road. What can I say? I'm on double yellow line, but still, I was just checking into the hotel and I was so... It was one of those angry... It was the most frustrating thing that can happen, isn't it? Being clamped. But it's just... Your heart sinks. Scuff. 80 euro. Just like that. Just taking out of your... And there's nothing you can do, can you? There's nothing you can do. And there was an elderly lady who'd been clamped as well, and she'd just been in a mass. She just parked outside the church and went to mass, and then she was clamped. And so really, it was a strange situation, because I was angry, but she was upset. So I didn't want to get too angry, because I didn't want to upset her anymore. And... very strange situation, isn't it? Isn't it? I mean, you can't. You know, the anger is pointless because you're probably angry at two fellas in the van. Were probably, I suppose they got a job to do, don't they? There's no one you can really be angry at, except the gods of clamping or the gods of parking. Perhaps you should have sacrificed more towards the dogs of clamp. The dogs. The dog is just passing. The gods are clamping. Well, less of this. Listen to that. Can you hear that? Just tons of birds flying out from the woods here. Oh, just the other side of the Boyne. Just in Slane, you know, in the Slane Castle and all that. Wow. It's amazing. I hope you can hear that. Because it's kind of gothic. And weird and autumnal and beautiful as well. Absolutely. Well, hey, okay, I'm gonna let you, I might as well let you listen to this. And yeah, Song Exploder is a good one too, if you want to listen to that. I've discovered a couple of new bands and I'll talk to you about that afterwards. Go on, listen to Kevin McGarren and Carl Spain. See you later. Carl, how are you? How's
good. Cracked?
Now, I remember years ago, was one of your first gigs in the Laughter Lounge that I was the compere.
And you introduced me as a big act because you forgot my name.
Yeah.
And you introduced me as Mark Spain, which is actually my brother's name.
It was Mark Spain, yeah, really, yeah. And yeah, it's a terrible thing to do, isn't it? You've never forgiven me, really. You remind me of it quite often.
Well, you'd reminded me today.
Yes, that's true, yeah.
You did, that was one of my first weekends, yeah, doing a proper weekend.
Yeah.
And it was just that thing of I'm walking up and you go, is a big act?
Yeah.
Tony Law was on as well that weekend.
Yeah. I remembered his name. Yeah. yeah. So you're from Limerick, yeah?
I am, correct.
And
you're not joking about the no plan, are you? I was thinking,
I've done loads of research.
That's a clever ruse.
Yeah, as you can tell, he's from Limerick, which is amazing.
Yeah.
I also researched that fellow over there. He's from Leitrim. Yeah.
Manor Hamilton?
No. Near Carrick and Channel, apparently. But what did you do before you started doing comedy?
I was a mature student doing TV production in Cláis na Dúlaigh in Dublin. And while I'd wanted to do comedy, when I was 18, I saw Billy Connolly with my then girlfriend and I said, mm-hmm. I'd love to do that. Which to her was like me listening to Jimi Hendrix record and going, do you know, I might take up the guitar.
Yeah.
You know, it was that kind of, what are you even thinking of doing that?
That's the worst thing about really good comedians. They make it look really easy.
Yeah.
You think, that's fucking really easy.
I never laughed so much in my life before since with the Billy Connolly gig that time. And it was, I was 18, 28 when I first got on stage. And it was, the next gig I saw was Sean Hughes. And Sean was brilliant, but he had a gag. I always remember he had a gag, which was, I don't smoke behind the bike sheds. I cycle behind the tobacconist. And I went, that's me. That's my kind of brain. That kind of reverse, the switch, play on words, whatever it was. I don't know, analyze jokes. I went, and that was kind of thing that me. Oh, there are people, you know, that I can relate to that do this and whatever like that. I wouldn't think I'm like Sean and that's it, but I think...
But I know, yeah, you play on just, words so, and ideas.
Sometimes
yeah.
you'd watch, like, Whose Line Is It Anyway would be on TV and I'd try and guess what they're thinking. And sometimes I'd get similar ideas and I go, oh, I think like them. I think like comedians. I just get so excited by it.
Yeah.
But genuinely, I think if I could think, you know, be thinking like training the brain for comedy and stuff like that. But I did TV production in college. And because I'm lazy, the least work you had to do was if you presented the show.
Yeah.
You know, as it's still evidence on things like Republic of Telly.
And this podcast.
But it was if would be a whole like everyone like all students we all agree like oh, if you do your camera one your camera two your director your scripter all the floor manager blah blah blah, but if you agreed to present the show, all you have to do was show up and present the show and you got the same mark as everyone who did all the work. So they'd say, oh, who wants to present? And no one wanted to present. I go, oh, I present. So it kind of grew in confidence. I used to be, I mean, back then in that laughter, I used to be terrified getting on stage.
Oh, were you really?
Oh, off. I used to be. Really bad, terrified.
That never showed.
But the release when I got off, I can only imagine heroin being like that. Just the joy once the gig went okay. But I used to be terrified. I couldn't deal with heckles. Now I'm very interactive. I'll chat to people and shows. But in those days, I just went on, did my jokes. And like I was still doing it with my brain. I look like I'm looking in the audience, but I pick a spot between people. Because if you don't look
at people's faces.
Unless I'm talking to them now. But if I'm doing a routine, I'm looking, you know, you all think, oh, he's looking at me now, he's looking at me now, he's looking at me. I pick a spot between or just over someone's shoulder because it freaks me out a little bit if I look at someone and they're not enjoying themselves.
Oh,
so I don't,
yeah, I know that.
I don't want to rest on someone's face and they're kind of going. And you could even like, it's happened when you could be having the best gig of your life and you just see someone and they're not, they're distracted or something. And
but that's pretty much, there's one of them in every audience.
But every comedian is looking for
and
that
person.
And that's
the person you keep looking at. Yeah.
Because I learned a lesson. The first heckle I responded to was I had a routine about being stopped by the police. And I used to open with a line about being single. I've been single now for three or four stone. And that was one of my opening gags. So then I did a thing about being stopped by the police. And the guy goes, did you shag him? And it just...
Did you shag him?
Did you shag him?
What a hecker. What does that even mean?
And I was just so taken. But I said, you have to deal with this. And it took me a couple of minutes. It was just that thing of... Well, about a minute. But it was like... And eventually I came up with the line of... Well, you know, everybody does get sex. Even the most stupid, unattractive, ignorant person would get sex. An example of this would be your parents, right? Which, as a response, was good. And in the
very
moment,
good.
Like, to come up with it, not having prepared it, the audience, not just laughing, were like, whoa! And I came off, the gig went fine. It was like a fine gig. But I came off and felt like a god. I thought that I've broken through a new ceiling.
Yeah.
But this was in the Laughter Lounge, a different weekend in the Laughter Lounge. And I went on the next night. And at the same point, I went, what did you say? No one had said anything.
Oh, right. You were just waiting for the heckle.
And I did the same heckle put down. And the audience went, what? What's he talking about? And I realised you have to wait. You have to be in the moment. It can't be just this thing of, what did... You know, I always find it, like, some comics do it. And then, oh, don't heckle me. I was heckled one time, and I said, he said this. And you have to wait for them, you know. And heckles are a little bit of a myth. They don't happen that much.
No, they don't happen
proper heckles.
Much.
You get annoying people shouting stuff out, you know. Like if you know someone, like they said, oh, you're from Melbourne, someone else going, Australia's mad, you know, okay, yeah, thank you, you know, just random stuff related to something someone's talked about.
Yeah, and if a heckle's really funny, it's funny, it's not like...
Oh, I love them. There was one in Port Leash where a guy, I did a joke about saying, I wear prosthetics because I'm too attractive. So I put on prosthetics so that women will be able to listen to my jokes and get, you know, that women and gay men won't be distracted by my beauty. And a guy shout up, you're wearing a bigger fat suit than last time you were here. But everyone laughs at me.
I'm amazed that you did have that fear, because the first 5 years doing stand up, I had that before every gig, I would be going, you don't actually have to go. In my head, I'm going, you don't have to go on stage. You can just go home and watch TV. Don't have to go on.
There were times I remember looking at the door.
Yeah.
You know, literally, like, let's say I'm waiting, you know, it could be going on, and I'd literally just stare at the empty door going, you know, thinking I could, like, as if I'm reminding myself there's an exit strategy here.
Yeah.
There's an exit strategy. You can make a run for it.
Yeah.
You know, there were, but not now. Now, literally, the complete opposite. I've said it to people, I could be sitting having a coffee in a coffee shop, and if someone just tapped me on the shoulder and said, through that door, there's a room with 400 people, would you just do a gig?
Yeah.
Just walk through and I'm on.
Yeah.
No prep, no nothing. And it doesn't bother me, no problem with it. It comes with time, and it's that thing of people going, I don't know how you get up and say, it's like doing it 16 years now, you get used to it.
Yeah, and I think a really bad death, in my opinion, a death on stage really helps you, because you'll never have, if you got a really bad one, no matter what gig you're doing, then you go, it's not as bad as that one.
Yeah.
Where that just,
I've had about 2 years ago, I had it just seemed to be a case of every gig I had was good.
Mm-hmm.
Every gig, I was just going from gig to gig, and it's that thing of once you're established, you avoid the gigs that will be horrible, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, will you come to a gig? You know.
Well, this is the worst thing when you're starting out and you just say yes to everything. You're doing the shittiest gigs with the least material. So it's really hard.
The first gig I turned down, because I had a rule when I started. Yeah. If I'm off, I'll do the gig, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. And the first gig I turned down, a woman rang my house and said, I've been trying to get you for ages. And I was like, my father's number's in the phone book. Like, you know, the number you've rang.
Yeah.
And she goes, will you come out to Tulla? She's a pub in Tulla, County Clare. Would I come out and just tell jokes to her locals for the night? And I went, like, a gig. No, just go around and tell them jokes. Right?
Holy shit.
And I went, for what do you mean? Like, for 4 hours. And I went, like, what? She offered me 20 quid, sandwiches and a few drinks. And I went, like, I didn't drive at the time. So I was there going, I'd have to get my father to drive me out there. And
so you actually thought about it?
No, I'm in my head going, I'd have to get my father, and I'd have to give him at least 20 quid. Yeah. So, and I don't drink. So I was there going, I would literally be working for food.
Yeah.
Wandering around the pub in Tulla. And she said, I thought it'd be a nice thing that's what you do. And I was just like, that's the other thing about what people perceive what you do is, like, you know.
They always want you to do loads of time. You do 4 hours.
Yeah.
No, they don't want to see me.
I don't have 4 hours. We'll just do another fella's jokes. Or a bit of magic.
Yeah. So do you sit down and write jokes now? Because the stuff you do is kind of worked out, wordplay, right?
I do now, but I write for...
And you write for Al Porter, right?
Yeah, I write for other people as well.
Other people.
Yeah, and TV and different things. So there's... So there is a thing of, I'll go through the papers and find a story or see something, and you go, oh, there's a joke there, there's a joke there. Or you try and anticipate what will be the story of the week and try and work out the jokes, and you'll have something nagging you in your head going, oh, there's a joke. You know, you go, there's a joke there, and then it comes. It's just, that's the great moment of just, oh. And it's funny that you could be watching, you know, television or something, or just sitting there and you go, oh. You go, huh, I'm working.
Right. And when you're writing for, let's say, Al, are you writing different kind of material than you could use?
Sometimes, yeah. There was a line I came up with. I was on stage and one night I was hosting a gig, and there was a girl in the audience, and I walked on and went, oh my God, I can't believe you're here. I just picked her out at random and went, oh, I offered this girl the chance to have sex with me before the show, and she blew it. And as soon as I said it, I went, that's going to be Al's.
That's for Al.
It's better. It's an Al joke.
Yeah.
And I said it to him. I said, oh, I've got a joke for you. And he was like, oh, that's mine. I went, I know Al.
Yeah.
Like last night, he finished on a Neil Diamond song. If you don't know, Al is gay. So if you don't know that, you have never seen him. He finished on a Neil Diamond song, and I came back on and said, that's how he chats his men up. He goes, Neil Diamond. And he went, I'm having that. that? Like, came back on. So there's a bit of that, and there's a bit of thing you think, oh, that'll work for someone. But I used to, it started with something like, let's say, I don't remember if I've ever done it for you, but I'd see, let's say I was watching you some night, and I go, oh, do you know that thing you do about that thing? Mm. Would you ever think of saying that? And, you know, sometimes people go, oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
You know, so I was always thinking like that, watching people. I try and anticipate the joke. That's what, you know.
Right.
So someone goes, oh, I can't think of a joke now, but I'm an example. But, you know, I was in a petrol station the other day and I spoke to the guy behind the counter and people be going, oh, I'm going, why is it the petrol station? It has to be something to do with the joke.
And
that's it. Then I'm going, right, why is blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
And I remember being on the bus once to Galway and a fella said, I was on the phone to a friend and he said, oh, write a joke about the bus as he was hanging up.
Mm.
And the joke I came up with, I was actually sitting next to, true, so I was sitting next to a nun and the guy on the bus and the guy in front of me had a pornography magazine, had Playboy or something beside it. But I said, oh, the guy in front had it open. And he was looking through it and I was getting a bit kind of worried that the nun would kick off. So I just tapped him on the shoulder and said, look, would you keep your eyes on the road? So that was a joke I came up with. And it was just that thing of, it's a pull back and reveal, you know, simple joke. But it was just that thing of put under pressure, write a gag. And it's, you know,
that's
you just
cool.
come up with the gag in the moment. But it's just that thing of taking the elements around you.
And it's a reveal.
You know,
but
it's a reveal. It's a, I mean, it's a simple, there's a formula to those.
Yeah.
You know, for, you know this, but I'm telling people, civilians.
Where where you think you're somewhere. Or,
Once I get into my head, I can't stop. the pullbacks and reveals.
Okay. And I don't know, do you want to talk about it? Recently you're on Operation Transformation. And you were hypnotized. No. But, like, how did you find going on that? Because I would find that's pretty brave to go on something like that. And
it's that thing of the brave, oh, the brave and courage. You know, it's not. It's like, it's you're putting yourself out there a bit. I wasn't bothered. There was a picture. One of the first days of filming, I'm there. I lost 2 stone on this show. If you don't know, if you're from Melbourne or somewhere else, right? But and then people go, but he doesn't drink. Oh Jesus, how did he lose it?
I know. To give up. Oh, did he just, other things than
how
drink?
How could you stop? How could you?
He started smoking.
One of the first days was they brought us swimming.
Yeah.
So doing exercises in the pool, swimming a pair of swimming togs. And I saw the footage and went, Jesus, I was massive. And then there was the thing, how did I not know I was that big?
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost that thing of, I look in the mirror every morning, brushing my teeth or fixing your hair. And it was just that thing of not, I had kind of blocked it out that I was that big.
Mm-hmm.
But once I started, I think it was 2 days in and I started feeling way better. It's all about what you eat. It's never, you can't, I used to go on mad exercise things. I'd be going out, you know, in the afternoon I'd go for an hour's walk and then I'd, in the evening I'd go out for another hour's walk. I used to get annoyed that there wasn't enough podcasts out there to listen to.
Right.
You know, I'd literally be going, oh, if there was only more podcasts, I'd get more exercise done.
Yeah.
So thanks, Joe. You've been a big help.
We'll make this a long one then, yeah.
But it's the food was the
But
was
you know
thing.
What's really, yeah, because if you get one of those exercise bikes that tells you what you're cycling off, like they tell you it's an egg that you've just cycled off. It'll take fucking an hour to cycle one fucking egg off.
Yeah.
So but it's better off not eating the egg.
Don't eat the egg.
And then just,
or eat 2 eggs and don't think about it. But it was that thing of now I'm in better habits. It slowed down a bit now. It was like, oh, you've lost whatever, 10 pounds, 6 pounds, 5 pounds, 4 pounds. Yeah. Now it's down to a pound, pound, pound and a half, you know.
All right.
But it's leveled off a bit, but I'm still keeping up with the plan. I haven't gone back to my bad ways and stuff like that.
Does they come back to you now?
There's talks of them coming back in January, but it is that thing of I weigh myself on a Monday. Once I'm not putting on weight now, I'm better, but I'm still... It's almost like this week now is such a busy week. I'm going, oh, right, you better not put on weight now when you weigh. Well, it'd be probably Wednesday morning or Tuesday morning by the time I get to weigh myself now. But
it's the life on the road, like, and all that traveling. It's pretty hard to get good food, isn't it? It's like,
The worst one, I remember touring with Ed Byrne, and Ed is quite thin.
Yeah.
And we'd stop at a garage somewhere, and there were literally no options. And I'd go, oh, I'll have a sandwich, which would be, you know, the best option. Ed would get one of these horrible looking pies. It's like, I remember looking at the going, disgusting looking thing, but he'd take a bite or two and then like That's all he wanted.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to get so annoyed with him. I had this thing about finishing my plate or finishing my food from when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Which I think is an Irish thing of.
Well, it's like the Irish thing of you'd never walk away from a half finished pint. I mean, that would be.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that fella?
That's me, I'm off. He'll be
Everyone
back.
In the pub goes quiet and looks.
He'll be back. Jesus. We should call the police. Joe's gone missing.
I remember seeing it in Spain when I was in Spain. First time I'd ever gone to Spain and seeing the Spanish people walking away leaving half glasses of beer. And I was like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah, I was telling the story just outside of my friend was in Barcelona and they were going to a party. And he says, oh, we're going back to so-and-so's house for a party. So he, all right, so we're going to the supermarket and he gets a six pack. Mm. And they go, no, 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 we'll buy our own drink. You don't need to buy drink for everybody. I'm not.
Yeah. Oh, no. The round is the worst thing, though, because I actually can't drink. I'm a bit skinny, you know, and I get drunk very easily. So if there's five people buying a round, I'm fucked. I mean, I'm pissed. Like
it is. It's amazing that there's like I've friends from home. There's comedians who go missing on rounds. No, not looking.
I have to go to the toilet.
No.
Yeah,
but I remember I was in Adelaide at the festival and. There was a group of us out, like loads of... So there was six of us out, actually, because it came to the sixth round and I was going, I bet you he won't, you know, he'll go now or something like that. And he did worse than leave.
Yeah?
He said, I'm going for a walk.
Just come for a walk.
Got up, and we were in a late bar in Adelaide and he went out. And he just said it to me and one of the others and I'm just going, oh, God. And then someone goes, all right, whose round is it? And I went...
The fellow who went.
And they were going, where's he gone? I went, he's gone for a walk. And it was just, what?
Is this a comedian? Yeah, you're not going to name.
I can't.
No, no, no.
I'd love to. So but, I don't know who it is.
Okay, so I'm going to bring on second guest now. Are you enjoying this now? Are you? Are you, really? Good.
Well, prepare to have that change.
Because our next guest... you've seen him, he hosts Republica Telly and another program where he goes to America, but I can't remember the name of the program because I haven't done that much research. So let's hear it for Kevin McGarren. Can you give him back?
Hi, Kevin.
How are you, Joe?
Yeah, how are you, Kevin?
What is the crack?
What is the name of the program?
The show is just Kevin McGarren's America.
Ah, so Jesus. Yeah,
you said all the words.
Yeah, right.
Just not in the right order.
Yeah, it's good, though. I like it.
They're a mental
Who, Americans?
Pile of people. Yeah. Have we any Americans in, no?
Good.
They're not going to own up to it, man.
Are we trying to take over the podcast and bomb us or something?
But I've seen the one where you were talking to the girls who do internet. You know, they make money.
Don't pretend you don't know what it is, Joe. Some sort of exchange of sex for money of some
showing
kind.
Their asses.
Some of the lads at work were telling me about it.
I actually do. I get spammed a lot by girls who want to friend requests on Facebook. And then you look, and they're gorgeous.
Do you still have the colour,
she
Joe?
She wants to be my friend. And then you look on her profile, and like she didn't exist until last week.
Yeah, and you were doing gigs for fags. Like, that's the generation gap between you, this girl and you.
No, she's not a real person. But
that's your opinion, Joe.
No,
that's your opinion.
I actually had a conversation. I tried to keep this girl talking to me, and I was talking about mad shit. She'd ask me what I was doing, and I'd say, "Oh, I'm beheading my cat with a toothpick at the moment."
And which takes a while.
She'd
it's a lot of holes you have to make.
And
I think that's because of the age profile. Like I get it, I get those girls as well, and it's that thing of and it's because I'm in my 40s, unmarried, comes up on a thing, and you can be targeted. So this girl, and you go, oh, right. And you go, yeah, post
one picture, friends with three people. There's one comedian who's friend always friends with them.
Really?
I think he accepts everybody. Yeah. It's kind of weird.
And all the friends are men. They're always men, no women friends.
Dodgy women. Stay away from them women, lads.
But they'll keep going for ages. I don't know if they understand English very well. Because, like I was saying, how...
Women in general are like that.
But I was trying to get money out of her eventually. I was trying to flip it, you know.
Yeah, good man.
Yeah.
See how she likes it. It's about time us men got our day in the sun.
So I was casually trying to drop in, like, what's your mother's maiden name? And
what was your first pet?
Yeah. I told her I was sick and I needed €600.
And you're a Nigerian prince.
And she left then. She did say one thing. She said, do you like Hot Naughty Sex Girls?
Hot Naughty?
And I said,
naughty?
Yes, they're my favourite band. And she stuck with that. Yeah. But anyway, you were doing this episode where you were talking to girls who made money of just like dancing around in front of a camera.
Yeah,
For men who are watching,
like online stripping, I suppose would be the best way to explain it.
Cam girls.
Any of the lads know what cam girls are? Total fucking silence. Yeah, there you go.
But I thought it was really well done, because I think sometimes those programs like Louis Theroux or whatever, they kind of take the piss a bit. The stupid Americans. But you kind of did it. You were just having a chat with them and they were like...
I suppose I'm not a very judgmental person because I judge myself so harshly. what are you going to say, Carl?
I'm I
tried to be balanced rather.
Yeah.
Unbalanced. And unbiased, you know. Hopefully that came through.
And
they were lovely people.
Lovely girls, lovely girls.
They're all lovely girls. Americans individually are the nicest people in the world. It's just when they get together, that's when they're trouble. They are very friendly people, but then, like, you'll be talking to one and they'll say something like, well, you know, Jews cause earthquakes, and you're like, all right, you're mental. I can't talk to you anymore. Like, we are mental in this country, but in a very, very friendly way. You can talk to any stranger at a bus in Ireland, and you kind of know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
It's obviously so often, like, you'll meet a total crazy bastard, but...
I met a guy in the pub once, and he was saying to me, talk about the financial crisis, which had just happened. And he started explaining it, and I went, God, he's clarified it, he's put it really cleverly. And I was like, oh, that guy knows his stuff. And I was kind of leaving, he goes, you're the comedian, aren't you? And I went, oh, yeah, I'm a comedian. He goes... What do you think about what they did to Father Ted? I was telling someone like canceling the show or something like that, and he was going, what do you mean? He says, Dermot Morgan, the Catholic Church killed him because they didn't like
Oh, no. That's a good one now. I haven't heard that one before.
Walking away going, thank God I didn't leave 10 seconds earlier because I walked over. That guy's fairly clueless. And then we go, Mad Frank!
God, you don't get too many Irish conspiracy theories. That's a nice one now. The Catholic Church. Would they be that organised that they could assassinate Dermot Morgan? Probably not.
Other stuff they cover up first.
Yeah, I think so. They've got a long list of shit before they get down to a funny priest.
Reasonable one.
Yeah. He didn't molest anyone in that program, as far as I know.
With all that money resting in our account, he's getting us all
into trouble. But I think, like, the Irish could never do. There was a girl on that program who was dressed as a dinosaur.
Yes,
and not even a real dinosaur, like a kind of
knockoff Barney.
Knockoff Barney type dinosaur,
like,
and she was
Barney.
Using a vibrator.
She was using a Hitachi vibrator.
Oh, was it a Hitachi? Wow.
Hitachis don't just make diggers. they also make... I think apparently I was asking you one, and I was like, how come we all have these Hitachis? And she said it was initially designed as a foot massager. Then some ingenious little lassie just went, wait a minute. And then it's like the most powerful or the most popular vibrator in the States at the moment.
Right.
Yeah. Diggers and vibes.
And they never, like, they're reliable, are they? You wouldn't need...
You need to maybe put a grease gun on it.
You're never halfway there. And
put it up.
Change the oil.
Yeah,
the dipstick.
The fan belt.
But the thing is that she could do that, address the dinosaur, without fucking... You know, I think an Irish girl would just start laughing, going, I'm a fucking idiot. What am I doing here? What has happened to my life?
Yeah, I suppose we're... I think because this is such a small country, I think we as a nation behave as if we're a tiny town.
Yeah.
And we are very worried about what the neighbours down the road or the neighbours in the county next door even think of us. Whereas Americans, I think they're more, and Brits as well, the Brits don't invite all of their neighbours to their weddings. You know, they've got like, they invite but 15 people and that's it. That's all they need at a wedding. We invite 300 because they'd be talking about us if we didn't. Mm. But yeah, over there, they don't really care what other people think as much. We're still very, I think.
Are you feeling the pressure of your upcoming wedding then?
Just setting you up.
Down the list.
Yeah, yeah. Carol Spain not invited.
And so, there you go. Are you two working together now on Republic of Telly?
Well, we're working on the same programme, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't say working together. Working at odds with each other, almost.
Yeah. So
But I had worked on the show before. I'd written gags for it and stuff like that.
Okay.
Now I have to deliver them, so I'd have to be better.
Yeah, Carl was, he was writing dog shit jokes for other people.
Yeah.
Putting the work in.
For yourself, yeah.
My dad was impressed with you the other night. He rang. He said, he was like, he looked well. Because we built a new set that looks like a newsroom and Carol was wearing like the braces and he was like, he looked well as the newsman. He really now, he looked like one of them newsmen, I don't know, what did he say, from Cagney and Lacey? Or was there a newsman in that?
There was a police show.
Some 80s.
Lou Grant. Ah, feck.
Lou Grant from what?
The Mary Tyler.
What programme?
Well, it started off in the Mary Tyler Moore show.
Mary Tyler Moore show, that's what he said.
Did he?
There was a woman involved.
How old is your dad? Well, the same age as me, probably.
He was born in 1960.
He's not that far off my age.
You look great.
Thanks very much.
I have to say, do you know what you look like compared to your Father Damo days?
Newsreader?
No. You look like, you know when they take an actor and they want to make him look older? So they just like grey up a little bit, but he still basically looks
that's
the same.
That's fantastic.
He looks the same as he did in 1996.
He looks like a young fella that's been artificially aged.
I thought you were going to say inseminated.
So they look like they've just put in the grey bits and stuff.
Yeah. Flash forward into the future.
His teeth and skin is too healthy and he's too fit looking. He's not really that old.
Right.
Yeah, you look great, man.
He's probably 38.
Fantastic. No, I am 53.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, when I watch you up and coming comedians now, I just hope they're shit. I don't want to see any young comedians.
No, I feel the same.
Yeah.
You see anyone coming up that's younger than you, you're just like, God, I hope he falls on his arse.
but no one's interested in this.
Yeah,
anyway.
It's like, who do you go to school with?
Have you any questions? Just in general, just about life or anything.
Yeah, what do you want to know? How to bleed a radiator? Where's the Carrick boy?
There you go.
I went out in Carrick one night. Is it the Rocky Robin or the Red Robin or what's that nightclub? Rocky Robin, that's some fucking hole of a spot. There was like four fights like at the one time simultaneously. That was a quiet night. Yeah.
What's it called? The Rockin' Robin?
Rockin' Robin,
Rockin' Robin, that's not... unusual name for a nightclub. You know, they're usually called Spanglers or Jupiter.
My dad saw how much money was to be made in, like, junior discos.
Oh, yeah?
People don't say junior discos anymore. Young people's nightclubs.
Like with no drink?
Sir. No drink, just pop. Just pop and crisps. And he was like, God, this looks hard handy. We could raise money for the football club. So he rented out the area, the community centre, and he got me, who was about 14 or 15 at the time, to come up with a name and a poster. So I wanted it to be cool, so I called it Mavericks. Which is, looking back now, the lamest name.
Well, it was also a name for a product for calves. Do you remember? Maverick.
I was thinking of the Mel Gibson film. But it was a total disaster. Everyone brought drink. The security was so lax. There was just ex-footballers at the door. And there was young lads. This young lad got into the... There was a car. Because it was in a town, the nightclubs are usually in the middle of a country, in the middle of the country. So you can't really go anywhere or escape. It's like Alcatraz.
Once you're in the nightclub, you're stuck for the night.
Yeah, you can't go to somewhere fun or down the road.
You can't go for a walk.
This nightclub was right beside the school and the village, and there was a car driving through the town, and one of the young lads just hopped into the boot as it was stopped at the crossroads, and Like, he was banging for ages. He was about 15 miles away before your man realised that, oh shit, I'm kidnapping a 15-year-old boy.
I was booked to do a GAA club in near Virginia in Cavan. You're from Cavan, right?
Yes.
And he said it's going to be a beach night, which means, I don't know, people turn up in swimming togs.
Just a tree.
Anyway, it was in the middle of nowhere, and I wasn't driving at the time. I had to get a taxi there, which was costing me half the fee that I was meant to get. And I got there, and he had this massive gym with sand. He brought sand in all day.
From the local digger.
And a DJ and just two fellas dancing in. This wow. massive gym. Oh, it was
It's
shit.
A desert island. It's stuck on a desert island, like two lads.
He was devastated.
The first teenage disco island. I was thinking about 16. And there was a girl, she was in school with my cousin, and she asked, she was there, she said, I can't find my friend, will you help me look for him outside? And I was like, I know, he's hardly gone outside. And we're looking here. She said, no, we'll look outside. And the lads were telling me afterwards, like years later, said, oh, you won? She says, do you know her? I said, oh, I met her years ago. Oh, she used to take guys outside nightclubs and suck them off. And I was like, what? What? And she's like, oh, yeah, she was known for it. What? I was like 10 years later, I found it.
Still raging.
Yeah.
I'm angry now.
Well, she should have described what was going to happen. It's like,
oh, help me go outside.
Help me go outside.
Like, we're looking all right. For a man.
Says, sorry, love, he's gone.
I was like, no, he wouldn't be gone outside. No idea.
Yeah, I think that was just bad advertising on her part.
Yeah.
She could have been a bit clearer, the trades description.
She's probably still there if you go back.
No, she's a cam girl now. Fella in the pub told me.
She's making money out of us, dressed as Barney the Dinosaur. I love you. No questions. No questions from the audience. You have no questions.
Oh, we have a question.
Come on,
there.
A question, yeah.
Have you ever gone to the Edinburgh Festival?
Yes, we have. Yeah. Are you doing a hilarious Scottish accent, or are you actually from Scotland yourself? Joe, you can go first.
You're Scottish. Yeah, I was there last August, and I was there 2 years ago in the play, The Shawshank Redemption. I played a fella in it.
The Wall.
A fella in prison. Doesn't have many lines. I know, yeah. So, yeah.
I first met you in Edinburgh.
Prison.
It's when yourself and Pat, Stingy Pat
McDonald,
were doing the
Stingy Pat
McDonald. The
yeah.
show with the band, was it Norwegian?
Yeah, we were the Pan Shop Boys.
Yeah.
Hello. Yeah. Do you want to see some comedy? And I was like, as of tomorrow, I know who you are. I got over to do the So You Think You're Funny, and you were like, oh, sorry about that. But it went from like, hello, we like you're flyer in the show to, oh,
how are you?
Yeah.
I was beaten by a guy, never heard of again.
In the So You Think You're Funny competition, which
was his name.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Well,
good then.
Yeah, and
everyone makes you funny. That's the lesson.
I met the Rubber Bandits flyer in there 2 or 3 years ago, and they stayed in character as they talked to me. Oh, you don't want that, you know. So we should have probably stayed in character as we talked.
Their character is very, very similar to who they actually are. They don't even really see a distinction jumping back and forth.
Yeah.
It's kind of just they have become their characters.
Do you know? Well, I thought maybe they're posh or something.
Not really. I mean, they're art school kids.
Mm.
They're posh for Limerick, which I mean, like, like Carl is posh for Limerick, you know.
Right.
But Scottish lady, I am a quarter Scottish. I'm a quarter Ouija. Can I say? I can say that because I'm one of them.
Oh, you're one
Ouija,
of them.
Yeah. What's up, my Ouija?
When I was doing that play, I shared a flat with a guy called Dave Johns, who's a Newcastle comedian, and like he got the main. Do you know that film I Daniel Blake?
Yeah,
that's Ken Loach film.
Yeah, yeah.
He fucking got the main part in that.
No way.
He's been on the.
Do you know what? That's not really an honor. If you get a main part in a Ken Loach film, it's like there's something gone wrong with your life. It's like I want somebody who looks like they've really hit
they've
rock
had
bottom.
A tough life. Yeah. Apparently, he went to the first audition and it went pretty well. And then he said to Ken Loach, "By the way, I forgive the accent. I love Billy Liar." And Ken Loach said, I didn't direct that film. And he said, I know, I'm just telling you, I love it. But
I've been looking at old Edinburgh pictures. I found one recently, and it was in the caves. There was kind of a nightclub after one of the gigs, and I'm going, oh my god, there's Flight of the Conchords, there's Dimitri Martin, John Bishop.
Yeah, right.
And it was literally after one of the shows, and it was just all these people. But the weird moment, you think when you're doing Edinburgh, it's like that thing of, oh, you're living with Dave Johns. I'm living with Al Porter last year, and you know, he'll forget about us soon. But you meet all these people. Like, I remember Zach Galifianakis presenting an Oscar to Brett from Flight of the Conchords, and thinking, I've gigged with both those people. And just the Oscar, it's that thing of just so far away from where you're at, you know, you're just thinking, so, but...
Well, like, it is weird.
It's mad when you kind of think just all these people that people don't, you know, just... People going, oh, did you ever meet such a thing? Oh, yeah, I lived with him. Do you know what I mean? There's that kind of... It's that weird.
Well, it is that weird thing when you're doing comedy, because you'll all start up in this same small club, and some people will just go and become millionaires and and others will be doing the podcast.
Oh, man, I bit my tongue. I really wanted to say it.
I've got a comedian who... he's one of the title roles, I won't say. He's in a sitcom with Jennifer Zamparelli, and he boasted to having masturbated in my sister's bed. It's burning no shade. He used to boast about it for ages.
Yeah.
Until he met his future wife, and then I said, oh, remember telling you to tell. I never said that.
Well,
rewrite history. Put that in the podcast now, will you?
That's brilliant. That will be in. That will be the closing
bombshell. Put it in the description.
Bombshell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will put it in the description.
Contains.
Find out that.
Yeah.
Find out. It'll be in the podcast, and then the star will get a hold of it, and it'll be the headline.
Yeah.
Bernard O'Shea masturbates in. It was your sister's bed, was
in,
it?
In unknown comedian's what, sister's bed. Come on, that's just the way the red tops work, Carol.
Yeah. It's unpersonal. Yeah.
I mean, you know, like, people say these hurtful things as jokes, but there's always a victim in the joke.
Yeah, I know. That's what makes it funny.
Have I ever said anything to someone?
Yes. Oh. Don't play this sad clown routine over this podcast.
They're working together. Anyway, I think we're going to wrap it up there. I hope you enjoyed that. Do you want any more questions? Any more? That it? So, thanks a lot. And give a round of applause for Kevin McGahern and Carol Spine. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
That was a brilliant rehearsal.
Let's get the real audience in.
There you go. Carol Spain, Kevin McGarren, two lovely chaps who... did the favour of doing that podcast for me and raised lots of money, helped me to raise money for the My Lovely Horse Rescue charity. As I was saying, yeah, I was listening to Song Exploder, and I discovered a band called Postal Service that had an album out 10 years ago, but I didn't know about it. And I've been listening to their album, but there's one song they cover which is unusual, which is Against All Odds, or Against the Odds, Phil Collins song, which I wouldn't have thought was a great song, or it wasn't a song that I liked, but they do a great version of it, and I realise now it's a great song, you know, Against All Odds. And take a look at me now in just an empty space, that one. And yeah, it's good. So oops, there you go. And I've also listened, there's little doggy dog, hello. And I also listened to and Song Exploder, Johan Johansson, who did the music for Arrival. And Arrival is a great film, just went to see it recently. And I went to see it with my girlfriend, and we've been going out just not even 7 weeks, and we were sitting and the trailers came on. And a trailer for a film that I am in came on. And that was mad. Just for 2 seconds, my head was on the screen. And that wasn't planned, but I suppose it's nice when you're going to bring your girlfriend to go see a film for the first time ever with your girlfriend. Well, not the first time. We did go to see a premiere of a film, but for the first time in a normal way. And the trailer comes on. I hope she doesn't expect that every time we go to see a film now, that she'll see a trailer of a film with me in the trailer. Maybe it's just high expectations. It's all downhill from here. Yeah. Oh well. That's a film called South, actually, I should tell you, and that's out in the cinema tomorrow. And tomorrow is the 25th, I want to say, of November. And I don't know when this will be going out, but I'll be in Glasgow in Malone's Bar tomorrow, the 25th of November. If anyone wants to just pop in, there'll be kind of a fathery teddy night there. And then I fly to London on Saturday, and I'm going to interview Barry Glendening, who is the sports editor, with the Guardian, and has a wonderful podcast. Yes, you'll know him from the Football Extra on the Guardian website. And I'll also be doing a gig in Camden and Dublin Castle in the afternoon from 4 till 7. And then I don't know what I think that night. I'll probably go over to the Cladda Ring in Hendon and watch some music over there. Yes. That's what I'll be doing. I think Monday might be over there. So that's what I'm doing for the next flip right you that off. In the next week, I'll be in Lawler's Hotel on the 3rd of December in Dungarvan. Yeah, if you're down there, I'll be down there. Why don't you pop in and have a Christmas dinner? And look at me and Patrick MacDonald. Why not? Why don't you? Yeah, flipping Egypt. And just in January, if you're around in Dublin, I'll be doing a regular Thursday night gig in the Mill Theatre in Dundrum. Yeah. So this podcast is sponsored by Jack Cody's Beer. Wonderful beer that's brewed in the town of Drogheda. I'm almost in Drogheda now. I'm certainly beside the Boyne, and the Boyne flows through Drogheda, but not quite at this point, further down. It's a beer that is specially brewed with hops and barley. And there's different brands called Smiggy, Doxy, yes, that's lovely, Hibernicus, which is a nice beer, and Lazy Eye, very strong, and will actually give you a lazy eye. Next week I might put out Colin Mockery, who I interviewed also briefly at the Galway Festival, and of course Barry Glendening. I've got plenty of podcasts in my back pocket. Don't you worry about that. Yeah. Anyway, thank you to everybody for subscribing. Please give me 5 stars. And if you don't want to give me 5 stars, don't give me any stars. Okay? And also I'd like to thank Daniel Rooney for the little bit of music that kind of has the reggae feel, which I use. And thank you everybody who contacted me in the week and mentioned the podcast and retweeted it and gave back some critique or positivity. You're all very nice people, and let's all stick together here, okay? Thank you. I'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Oh, Father, dear, dear. Son, O'Connelly Road.